Bibles, and we're going to go over to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19, and we have a handout we're going to put in your hand as well here in just a bit. But Acts 19, if you're discipling, yes, you are excused. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that, but if you're discipling, you can be excused. Okay. Acts 19 is where we're going to be, and so if you've got your Bibles there and you're at Acts 19, you go ahead and stand with me. We're going to go ahead and go and read verses 1 through 7. You know what, Serge, I need to get my mic on. Let me read these scriptures first, and then we'll get the mic on. Acts 19, 1 through 7, and we're going to go ahead and start there. Amen. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? All right, read with me together verses 1 through 7. Here we go. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Father, please work in and through our Bible study tonight. Lord, help us to glean some things from this passage, Lord, and to set some things in order. And Lord, to get some things settled out in this area of Scripture that seem to have plagued men down through the ages. Lord, work in us. Help the patchers over there as well to do a tremendous job with their performance and with their practice time and their story time there. And Lord, help the disciples as well to learn some great things tonight from your word. Help us as well, Lord, as we look into Acts 19, Lord, to be able to discern more about what thus saith the word of God, so we can be a tremendous blessing and a help to others. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to get my mic on here. Pivotal point in the life of the Acts of the Apostles. Several things you're going to find that you're going to find in this area of Scripture have been misconstrued down through the ages. The main one is the area of the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know off the top of your head what has been misconstrued about these verses, verses 1 through 7, in regards to the Holy Spirit? Anybody know what's been misconstrued about the Holy Spirit's ministry in verses 1 through 7? Because it's been going on for some time. Search. And that's one main area as well that's a big, huge problem. If you get saved and you haven't spoken in tongues, you're really not saved. What's another area that has plagued Christianity coming out of this passage as well? And it ties right into what Serge just said. Anybody know? That is this, that you don't receive the Holy Spirit right away when you get saved. The Holy Spirit comes later on. And that's been propagated by many that say that that is something that is true, and that is not true. When you get saved, you get the Spirit of God when? Right away. The Spirit of God does not wait. He does not tarry. Does anyone have to pray for the Holy Spirit? Has there been in Scripture anyone praying for the Holy Spirit? You don't really find people praying for the Spirit of God. You find people praying to receive Christ as Savior, but you don't find them praying for the Spirit. And so chapter 19 brings us to several pivotal points in the book of Acts. And these are several things that we find. Number one, we find disinformed disciples. We find confusion with John's baptism. We find Holy Ghost ignorance. We also see rebaptism. How many of y'all were baptized before you got saved? Amen. Many of you. You sprinkled Catholic? Amen. Then that means you had to get rebaptized. And so we find rebaptism in this passage. How many of y'all heard about speaking in tongues? We see speaking in tongues in this passage, all in verses 1 through 7 in these opening verses here. We see some pivotal points in the book of Acts here with the disinformed disciples, the confusion with John's baptism, the Holy Ghost ignorance, the rebaptism, and the speaking in tongues. Let's look at verse number 1 first. Now, I just want to highlight some things, and then we're going to look at something a little bit more in depth. Again, this is Paul's revisit to the area of Ephesus. Remember back in 18, go back to 18 with me, to verse number 21. And when he left this crowd, he didn't stay there that long. Notice verse 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Remember, we talked about that. He had an eager group of people that wanted to hear the gospel. And in the synagogue of all places, he normally got beat up and thrown out. And this synagogue said, look, we want to hear more. And Paul said, no. Now, brother, I don't know about you. Somebody said they want to hear more. What do you say? Yes, amen. You know, we don't say yes, amen. Paul said no. He consented not, amen, because he wanted to get to Jerusalem down there. It says he consented not in verse 20, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. Paul said, you know, there's a bigger crowd in Jerusalem that I want to preach to, that I need to reach some people up there. These folks have said some things about me. They know some things about me, but I need to get up to Jerusalem. There's some people there that I want to see. And so he said this, though. But I will return again unto you, notice this, if God will. So he said, you know, if God's willing, I'll come back. And he sailed from Ephesus. And so, of course, Apollos came down in that same area where Paul had left from. And we found Aquila and Priscilla helping him out. But then you come over here in verse number 1, we find as Apollos left Ephesus and went to Corinth, Paul here is returning to Ephesus as he said he would try to do in Acts 18:21. Notice what it says. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? So when Paul comes in here, he arrives at Ephesus, he finds these disciples there, he begins a dialogue with them. And something in their dialogue must have prompted Paul to play the detective and begin questioning their salvation. You ever had that going? You talk to somebody about spiritual things and something they say kind of raises that antenna or raises that little flag saying, warning, 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 they need help, warning, warning, they don't have it all together, warning, warning, something's wrong with their testimony, warning, 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 you better investigate. That's pretty much what must have happened with Paul, because he says he finds these certain disciples at the end of verse 1. Then verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Obviously, there must have been something in this dialogue that prompted him to say, you know what, when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. And what you're telling me, I don't think you have a clue about the Holy Spirit right now. And notice what it says. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What? We haven't even heard there be any Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute. There's a problem with that. Why is that a problem? They're supposed to be saved. What do you get at salvation? The Holy Spirit. So there's a problem with that if I haven't even heard of him. Can I possibly be saved and not even have the Holy Spirit? No. No. Can I be saved and not know that I have the Holy Spirit? How are you going to not know that you have the Holy Spirit? Now, you may be ignorant of the fact, but you got to know something happened. Now, let me give you something here. Paul's questioning pays off. Because as he's playing detective and he questions the religious stand, he finds out that they'd never even heard of the Holy Ghost. Show you several passages that need to come to our attention. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Let's go over there real quick. Romans 8 and verse number 9. By the way, if you talk to somebody and they tell you they have no clue about receiving the Holy Spirit, there's probably something wrong. Either they haven't been trained right, or they don't know what the Holy Spirit's ministry does in their life. But everybody that is saved should get the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 9. And notice what it says here. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Is he speaking to saved people at Rome or unsaved people? Saved people at Rome.
He said, now you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be, notice that the spirit of God dwell where? In you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is what? None of his. You can't be saved without the spirit of God. The spirit of God is he who seals you. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Because these folks coming up here with him are ignorant of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 1. And notice verse number 13. And verse 13 says, in whom also ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye what? Believed. What did Paul ask him over there? Paul said this. Let me read it again for you there. Stay there in that area. Paul asked this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? That's what Paul asked him. Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Notice what Ephesians 1 says again. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So once I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit and he sealed me. Come over to chapter number 4 and verse number 30. Everybody following that already? Everybody got that? Because somebody tell you they don't know what the Holy Spirit is doing, you need to take them over to this area and say, look, he seals you. If you don't have him, you don't belong to God. Verse 30 says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what? Sealed until when? The day of redemption. That's the day until I go to meet Jesus. I'm sealed. I've been put a mark is on me to get me to the place where I need to be. How many of you ever put something on layaway? Amen. Back in the days before credit cards. Amen. You put something on layaway and what happens? You put a down payment on that until you go pick it up. Nobody else can get that but you. God is saying here, I gave you a down payment called the Holy Spirit of God to show that you belong to me. And you are forevermore sealed until you get to me. Amen. That's good. He said you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God down there. Come over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So there's a big problem with the crowd here of disciples. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And notice verse number 8. Paul here speaking to them about this area of despising. He says, he therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his what? Holy Spirit. So back over in Acts chapter 19, Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. By the way, questions are good. Accusations are bad. Notice what Paul did not say. He did not say, y'all aren't saved. Did he say that? No. He merely asked them a question. It's simple like this. Have you been born again? Have you received Christ? Now, when you say, have you received Christ, caution. Some people think because I take communion, I've received Christ. Because according to transubstantiation, when the priest says his little words here, this wafer turns into the body of Christ and the wine turns into the blood and I drink it all over again. So in essence, I have received Christ. And so be careful when you caution, when you question people on the terminology that you utilize. One that is very, very safe is have you been born again? It only means what it means. I was talking to somebody just a couple days ago, and I said, being born again means being born from above. Matter of fact, it was Gloria's family. You know, I was reading John 3:16 and went back up to Nicodemus and said, this is what it means. And I said, being born again means being born from above. Doesn't mean anything else. So he says, have you believed? And never tell someone they are not saved. Why? It's not your place. Now, I'll tell you one time you can tell somebody they're not saved. And it happened to me. They asked me this question. Pastor White knows exactly who I'm talking about. Well, what do you think? Do you think I'm saved? And you know what I told them? I said, based on the testimony that you gave me and based on what the Word of God says, no. You said, oh, that's mean. based on the testimony that they gave me and based on what the Bible says, and they asked me, what was my opinion? Do I think they're saved? I said, based upon what you have told me and based upon what the Word of God says, no, I do not believe you're saved. But it's not up to me. You know, if you're going to give me a testimony and say I got baptized in water or I spoke in tongues over here, I'm going to say, I don't believe you're saved based upon what the Bible says. So if they ask your opinion, you've got license then. But you better make sure you got some scriptural support. Back it up. Back it up. I backed it up. I said, look, this is what the Bible says. A person is born again by doing this, this, and this. Repenting of their sin, turning to Jesus. It said nothing about getting baptized, nothing about speaking in tongues. It said none of those things. Now, whether you're saved or not, that's between you and God. I've got no, but if you ask my opinion, I say, no, I don't believe you are. Now, if you come back with another story, I might have confidence in your story, but your life still don't match up. Amen. So be careful. Unless somebody asks your opinion, you really don't want to tell them that they're not saved. You let the Bible speak for itself. And folks will say, well, am I saved? And I'll ask them, well, are you? And I'll take them to 1 John. It says down here, you know, he that hath the Son hath life. Do you have the Son? And they'll say, yeah. I say, when'd you get him? I've always had him. No, you didn't. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I said, if you can't go back to a place when you got the Son, and I'll do simple things. I see you got a ring on your finger. When'd you get that ring? When'd you get married? No, give me a date. Oh, I see you got pictures of your children right there. When was that child born? On this date. When was that child born? That day. When were you born? That day. When were you born again? Now, you know every other date, but you can't give me that date. And the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not. So there had to be a time when you got the Son. You can't just tell me you've always been saved. That doesn't wash, especially when you got all these other dates down pat. But you can't give me that date. Something's wrong with that picture. So be careful when you investigate. Paul evidently did some investigative work here when he found these certain disciples, and he asked them that question, point blank, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard of whether there be any Holy Ghost. Paul comes back with another question, and he begins to inquire as to what was behind the purpose of their baptism. He says, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, why does that sound familiar to us? Just talked about last week. Jesus was baptized by John. What just happened in the previous chapter that just closed out? What was Apollos preaching? A surge? Right on. Acts 8:18 closed out with Apollos preaching at the synagogue and boldly proclaiming John's baptism, whom when Aquila and Priscilla heard that, they said, look, son, let's get some things right. Now, did Apollos go back into the synagogue and readdress that crowd? We don't know. Notice what it says there, Acts 8, at the end of 18. It says, notice verse number 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing what? Only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It does not say, and then he went back into the temple and said, hey, look, guys, you know what I just told you? Scratch all that. I got the rest of the story. Doesn't say that. And so if he boldly proclaimed this in the synagogue and being the type of speaker that he was, some people heard that. Notice what it goes on to say. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, it just says that, you know, he went down to the area of Corinth. And the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. So he helped them through grace because Aquila and Priscilla helped him. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. But it doesn't say that he went and corrected the problem. So here comes Paul into Ephesus now. coming into the same area, finding these certain disciples. We know it's about 12, according to verse number 7. He finds these 12. Did they hear in the synagogue what happened? Don't know. Was it that Apollos went back to the synagogue and the people that Paul meets now were not there, so they didn't hear? Was it that they were there and they didn't hear because they didn't want to hear? Or was it they refused to believe that now after Aquila and Priscilla's going to school him, this is true? We don't know. Only thing we know is 12 of them didn't hear or don't know about the Holy Spirit of God. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Hey, just like folks can be in here in this church and I can say something and some people will hear it and other people aren't going to hear it. The day that I got saved, I know everybody in that church was not saved. But guess what? I heard. And guess what? I responded. So there might have been some people in the synagogue that heard when he readdressed the synagogue, if he did. There are others that maybe were there, didn't hear. But we don't know what happened with that. But we do know that when Paul comes up here, he finds at least 12 disciples that don't have a clue about the baptism of John here. They begin to produce the same preaching of Apollos in verses 3 and 4, the baptism of John. And often when you ask someone, especially if they are Baptist, when did they get saved? Normally, what will you hear right off the bat? They passed away. When they got baptized. Oftentimes, a staunch, diehard religious Baptist will tell you when they got baptized. And you didn't even ask them when they, you asked them when they got saved. And they'll say, well, I got baptized. There's a lady that frequently frequented this church. And I asked her point blank in the service. I said, so when did you get saved? She said, I got baptized on such and such a day. I said, I didn't ask you when you got baptized. I said, that's great, but when did you get saved? And she was lost for words. What am I saying? Normally, people that equate their baptism with salvation, often there's a problem with that. Now, not all the time. You know, they will often take you back to their baptism, at which point then you can begin to investigate a little bit more like Paul did. Hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit? At what point did you get it? Some genuinely get saved and get baptized the same day, so we should use caution and be careful, not be caustic in our zeal to play Paul or Aquila and Priscilla on their lives. Be careful. Some people do get saved and get baptized the same day. It is not uncommon. Some people do, they get saved and they get baptized the same day. Now, it doesn't happen as often as it should. Back in the days, it happened all the time. Folks got saved and they got baptized right away. Now folks are so anemic to the gospel, you know, they get saved. Well, it's baptism. I don't know about that, Brother Scott. You know, what are you trying to do? You're trying to reel me in or something? You know, I said I got saved. Isn't that enough? Now I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Isn't that enough? Some folks get scared. Baptism. Now you want to dunk me in the water after I got saved? I thought that was enough. Hey, watch that. Amen. Now I want to do something. Brother Gary, get that hand out for me. Let's hand it out. Because you find here in verse number 4, then said Paul, John verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And so Paul, as he inquires as to what's behind the purpose of the baptism, they begin to produce the same preaching as Apollos did, and that's John's baptism. And so at what point, this point now, I want to go back and revisit why the Acts of the Apostles even is in the Bible. And I gave this outline out way back when we started. I want to give it out again just to go over it very, very briefly to bring us back up to date, because the disciples of John pose the last group in the group of four that have to get bought into the local church. And so this is a very pivotal point in the Acts of the Apostles here. And so if you got your outline there, let me have one too, brother. And I want you to notice several things about this outline here. Notice what it says here. As we continue our study in the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the church, you'll notice some things only took place in this book. That's because the book of Acts is a transition book. That's always key to keep in mind. It's a transition book. What is it transitioning from? From the law to grace, from an outward law to an inward leading of the Holy Spirit, from the temple to the church, from the priest to the pastor, from the Sabbath or Saturday to Sunday, etc. Notice what it goes on to say. Acts is to the New Testament what Genesis is to the Bible. It sets the framework for understanding 12 of the 27 books of the New Testament and gives the overview or the opening of the New Testament way of life. Throughout this study, we have seen how Jesus preserves, protects, prospers, purges, and provides for his church. The principal verse in Acts is Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. The program in Acts is the spreading of the gospel, and we see that down there in those verses. But then notice this, the purpose in Acts, bringing all Jesus' disciples together into local churches by the power of the Holy Ghost and establishing order. At this time, when you look back into chapter number 18 and verse number 19, whose disciples are being talked to in Apollos and the ones that Paul is talking to? Whose disciples? Are they Jesus' disciples or are they John's disciples? John's disciples. Whose disciples do they need to be? Jesus. So notice the four groups that the Acts of the Apostles has to bring together into the local church, the Jews. We saw them brought in Acts chapter 2 in verse number 5 when they spake in tongues there. Matter of fact, let's do a quick flip back there. Acts chapter 2, quick flip, and I'll read it so you don't have to worry about if you don't get there in time. Because it's important to know that this last group, the disciples of John, had to get brought into the church of God. Notice chapter 2 in verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem who? Jews, devout men out of where? Every nation under heaven. So the Jews had to be bought in. We find them getting saved there in verse number 41, 42. 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them. How many? About 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay? Now, go over to Acts chapter number 8. This is the second group that had to be brought into the local church. The Samaritans. Acts chapter number 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, what did Acts 1:8 say? Ye shall be witnesses unto me where? Both in Jerusalem and in where? And in Judea and in where? And in Samaria and in where? To the uttermost parts. Right now they're in Samaria. And the people get saved here in Samaria. Notice verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached to Christ unto them. And people got saved down there. And then come over here to verse chapter number 10. Chapter number 10, this is the third group of people that need to be brought into the church. So we got the Jews bought in. We got the Samaritans bought in. By the way, were the Samaritans worshiping someplace else? Remember the woman at the well? She said, you know, we worship over there. But you say we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem? And the Samaritans had to be bought in. The Jews had to be bought into local church. Now the Gentiles had to be bought in. Chapter number 10, notice verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the what? Italian band. So he was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was Cornelius. And you find him getting saved down there in verse number 28. Notice what it says in verse 28. And he said unto them, ye know how that is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into contact. To come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So he let you know right there that he is not a Jew. And then down there in verse number, where does he get saved at? Verse number 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. So those folks got saved there. Notice what it says in verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of what? The Holy Ghost. So these folks got saved and they got baptized down there as well. So the last group to get bought into the church now, after the Jews got bought in, after the Samaritans got bought in, after the Gentiles now got bought in, is now the disciples of John, the very last group. And they get bought in here in Acts chapter 19. One thing that you will find in each one of these areas when somebody was bought in, normally there was always a Jew present and or an apostle present. And you will find that oftentimes tongues were used to authenticate the messenger and the message and to show to the Jews a sign that these people get the same ghost, a Holy Ghost that you get. So notice what it says down here. Acts 19 and verse 4. Then Paul said unto John, verily baptized with baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Notice the remainder of your sheet there you've got on the right-hand side, the people in Acts. The main characters are Peter and Paul. Notable sub-characters include Silas, Barnabas, Timothy, Philip, James, Stephen, and Aquila and Priscilla. The panorama of Acts. Understanding the trail after the ascension of Christ unlocks the books of 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. These were mission churches established by Paul that became independent congregations and individuals that Paul needed to instruct on local New Testament church Christianity and its operation. The book of Acts also illuminates and expands upon the message of the Gospels, gives insight into Romans, Hebrews, the Revelation, and the other epistles of James, John, Peter, and Jude. So if you get Acts right, you get everything else right in the New Testament. You get Acts wrong, you're going to get a lot of doctrinal things wrong because many of the New Testament epistles were written back to churches that had gotten things wrong. Okay, so everybody follow that outline thus far. Everybody with me? Y'all square? Amen. We got about 9 minutes here to finish up a couple things here. All right, so we got Paul's revisit to Ephesus turns out to he's meeting some disciples here. They're John's disciples. They don't know about the Holy Ghost. He says, why did you get baptized and unto what? They said, John's baptism. He said, you know what? John just talked about he who was to come. By the way, when John spoke, did he speak about the Holy Spirit? Not about the Holy Spirit's ministry, but what did he say about the Spirit? About who was going to come after him? What did John major on? He did major on Jesus, but he said repentance and get ready. He said get ready and act like you are saved until you get saved. And there's coming someone after me to get you saved. And what did he say he was going to do? He was going to baptize them with what? Fire and what else? And the Holy Spirit. So they should have known something about the Spirit's power and the Spirit's ministry. They should have known something because that's what John said. Go back to Matthew chapter number 3. And Matthew chapter number 3. And notice what John said. Matthew chapter 3. And so if they know John's baptism, they should have gotten this part down as well. Matthew chapter 3, notice what he says in verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. So they should have known something of the Holy Spirit. They should have known that, the Spirit of God is supposed to come hereafter. John is preaching, saying, look, there's somebody else coming, so we need to wait for him. And so until that time, we need to get baptized and then act like we are saved until we get saved. So they should have known something about the Spirit of God. Somewhere, something got lost in the transmission because John did mention that. Okay, go back to Acts 19. And by the way, it's important to know as after we revisit the book of Acts that the point that we went through that outline, the apostle has written to the churches after the fact, telling them about all of this afterwards. But at this point, they had not received any epistles to Ephesus. None. Only thing they got is Paul's visit. Okay. Now, notice this other thing here. Notice the difference in John's message and Christ's message. I don't have time to go through all of this tonight. We're going to pick up with it next week. But John said a lot of do and wait. Jesus came back and said, it's done. Now go witness. And that's the basic difference in the messages. Jesus said, it's done. I'm going to die. It's going to be over. And you just need to go tell somebody. John said, you know what? You need to do what it feels like to be a witness. You need to do what a saved person does and wait for the Spirit to come. So that's the basic difference that you're going to find in the messages that Paul is preaching and Christ is preaching as opposed to what John and his disciples were preaching. They were saying, wait, 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 and it's going to come. Okay? Now, read you a couple more things here. We're going to close for tonight. Look at what it says in verse number 5. When they heard this, now, what did they hear? Christ Jesus. They heard the preaching and the teaching about Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When they heard that, so evidently when Paul got their attention and they didn't know what they got baptized for, and Paul took the time to repent, to tell them about John's ministry and Christ's ministry. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 4. That is on Christ Jesus. He told them about Jesus. When they heard this, they were what? Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they got rebaptized. Again, how many of y'all got rebaptized after you got saved? I did. So they got rebaptized. Why? They weren't officially saved then. They hadn't had the Holy Spirit. But then here's the other can of worms here. Verse number 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues. Now, wait a minute. Go back to Acts chapter number 10. And in Acts chapter number 10, notice what happened. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Did Paul lay hands on them? Did Peter lay hands on them? Didn't touch them. For they heard them speak with what? Tongues and magnify God. Now, Paul put his hands on them. Peter didn't touch them. What's the difference? Is there a different Holy Spirit? Is there a different way to receive it? No. It's just that Paul put his hands on him and Peter didn't. Does that make Peter better because he didn't have to put hands on him and Paul less? No. Just a difference. It's just a difference. You know, people want to look at that and want to take all kind of things out of context. Well, y'all, I'll just say the word and, you know, Spirit of God is going to come on you. Start speaking with tongues. Babble, 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 babble. I'm going to lay hands on you. Take it. You're going to fall out. Babble, babble, babble. Foolishness. Foolishness. One spoke, one put their hands on them. By the way, again, what is the principle behind all of this? Just like the Jews, just like the Samaritans, just like the Gentiles, John's disciples had to be brought into the local church. The receiving of the Holy Spirit was the sign that they were saved and that the messenger was being authenticated and that the other Jews needed to take notice of that, that this is real. And they are just as much saved as you are. By the way, if they hadn't gotten that message, they'd still be on their merry old way. If the people of the Samaritans didn't get the gospel, guess what? They would have still been on their merry old way. If the Jews at Pentecost didn't get the message, they would have been on their merry old way. If the Gentiles didn't get it, they'd be on their merry way. If you and I didn't get it, we'd be on our merry way. And guess what? At the end of our merry way is a real hell. And so they are bringing all of them in to the local church. This is the last group that needs to be brought in, John's disciples. And he brings them in. It says, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So now, why did not these guys hear the message from Apollos? Maybe Apollos didn't go back in the synagogue. Maybe Apollos never went back in the synagogue. Maybe they didn't hear. We don't know. But we know Paul got them saved. They got the Spirit of God. And so the last of the four groups that the Acts of the Apostles is branched out to go bring in have been successfully brought into the local church. And so all groups have been successfully met. And so the gospel continues to go on. There'll be more to come on that as we go down the road and as we study the Acts of the Apostles, as we study the tongues on Sunday night. But don't let anybody play any foolish games with you saying, well, you know, I got tongues over here and I got tongues over here. Just tell them you got one too. You know, I got one too. You want me to look it out at you? Hey, amen. I got one. It's not going to do any good to get in an argument with them. Take them right down the scriptures. Let them know contextually what it means. Let them know what it says and be done with it. Don't argue. Don't fuss. You don't find Paul arguing with these guys. He said, look, did you receive? They said, no. He gave them the gospel, and then they got baptized afterwards. The Spirit of God came on them, and they got saved. And so now they're legitimate. Amen. Any questions on this area right now? We've got 1 minute left for the kids to come in here and run us out. It's going to take longer than a minute. Amen. Well, sister, you can see me afterwards. Amen. We'll get to those questions. Amen. The main thing that I want you to take home with this is, be inquisitive when somebody tells you they're saved. Ask questions as to how they got saved. Be direct about their salvation. Don't use pat answer or pat words, but make them divulge back to you how they got saved. Make sure they understand, not just the terminology, but getting saved. Remember Acts chapter number 8? Remember Simon? Simon went through the whole thing, even got baptized. Then he said, look, give me some money so I can buy this thing. You going to say something, Serge? Not babble. Amen. And again, it is supposed to be for the edification of the body of Christ, not personal edification. Because we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about tongues. Folks say, well, I do it at home. Now, how's that helping the church? I do it in my closet. How's that helping the church? Do you know what you said? Well, no. But the devil don't either. But neither do you, so it doesn't help you either. So some strange things coming out of there, amen. But to make sure that you understand that this last group had to be bought in. They were bought in. They were rebaptized. They got connected. They spoke in tongues. There were languages that were understood. They were John's disciples. They're all in the church now. Know how to ask somebody, how do they know that they're saved? Yeah, I like Pastor White. He'll say, look here. Yeah, let me give you the Bible. I'm lost. Now you lead me to Christ. Tell me how to get saved. And most folks say, well, just tell me what you did to get saved then. But you just told me you are saved. Well, how'd you buy your last car? Well, I went to the credit union. I did this. Okay, well, how'd you get saved? And it shouldn't be that hard. Amen. They're waiting. Let's pray. Amen. We'll be dismissed here. The kids are going to be coming in. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Help us, Lord, as we become private investigators, Lord, detectives, and trying to not talk someone out of their salvation, but be sure that they're authenticated in what they do have by way of salvation, Lord. Our job is not to tell them that they're not saved, but is to encourage them in the right way, like Aquila and Priscilla did, like Paul did here with disciples of John, truly asking some inquisitive questions, Lord, some investigative questions, not accusations, Lord, but questions. Help us as we work with our coworkers, our loved ones as well, family members and friends alike, as we talk to them about how they know they're saved. Lord, help us be concrete, help us be direct, and help us be polite as we talk to them about this very, very important subject, how they can know that they're saved. Work in us and through us, Lord, and get us prepared for this weekend's activities. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.